a great friend, and then there's your best friend. You know how to tell the difference? A good friend, has certain qualities, as do the other two. And I think it probably goes without saying that sometimes in life we've all gotten into a bit of trouble, haven't we? Maybe just a little bit here or there, maybe in your past. Well, a good friend will call you when you're in jail. A great friend bails you out of jail. And your best friend turns to you in jail and says, "Boy, wasn't that fun?" Now, let's get to the Bible part of the message before you start thinking about some fun you can get into this week. But remember, I do visit people in jail. If you ever end up there, please call. John 15, Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you," what? "Friends." I've called you friends. Jesus speaking. "For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." There's a painting we're going to put on the screen right now of a scene that we looked at several weeks ago. We just finished our series on The Choice. We talked about Judas and Simon Peter and Jesus. And then last week for Easter Sunday weekend, we made a choice. And in this painting, you see Jesus and John kind of leaning on him, as it said in the gospel. And then here's Judas in the foreground on the right. And he has just been talked to by Jesus. He dipped the bread and handed it to him. He said, "Whatever you're going to go do, just go do it." And we know Judas went out to betray Jesus Christ. He's leaving the room to do so. And you know what? Sometimes friends betray each other, don't they? It's hurtful. It's painful. It is gut-wrenching when that happens. I've experienced it. It is probably some of the worst time you've ever experienced in your life. Yet friend is a word that Jesus extended even to Judas, even to him, in the midst of what he was doing. Remember the story in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus has prayed and Judas leads the authorities to Jesus in the garden and kisses Jesus on the cheek. Think of this, it's dark. Jesus is there alone in the garden praying. He's praying so forcefully that it says that he started to sweat drops of blood. He's pleading with his Father, "If there's any way this can pass from me, take it, but not my will, but thy will be done." Now off in the distance, he's brought his inner circle, his best friends, Peter, James, and John, but they've fallen asleep. He asked them to watch and pray with him, but they grew weary and they fell asleep. And it's dark. And suddenly Jesus rises and he calls out to his disciples, "Get up, it's time to move, because the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." And at that moment of betrayal, emotion, and pain, what does Jesus do? Does he go out to see Judas and say, "There he is, there's the scoundrel, there's the rat, there's the backstabber"? Check out what he calls Judas in Matthew 26. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Why are you here? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. He called Judas his friend, because he was. Judas was one of the 12, the core, his disciples, one of his closest friends, a man who had traveled and worked closely with Jesus for more than 3 years, along with the others. They were friends. And remember, Jesus didn't do hate. Remember? He knew by that time that as things were playing out, exactly what Judas was up to. He knew what he was planning on doing. Jesus knew Judas would betray him, yet he loved him. And in the Greek that the New Testament was originally written in, the word friend there means comrade. One who's there going to war with you. a comrade, a friend. From the Message translation of that same verse, the Bible says, the betrayer, Judas, had worked out a sign with them. The one I kiss, that's the one. Seize him. Because they were like, which one's Jesus? I'll kiss him on the cheek, you grab him. And he went straight to Jesus, greeted him, how are you, Rabbi? And kissed him. And Jesus said, friend, why this charade? Why this charade? Now, you know, when it comes to choosing friends, I don't know if I'd have Judas on my list. That's me. But then again, consider some of the friends that God has had who are listed in the Bible. Moses, he stuttered. David's armor, when he was young man, he didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. That looks good on a resume. Jacob was a liar. King David had an affair. King David was smitten down to his socks when his eyes caught that Bathsheba fox. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David, when he was chosen to be king, he was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was depressed and suicidal. John the Baptist did not dress well. In fact, he probably didn't smell too hot either. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? He hauled off and killed the Egyptian soldier after he had beaten the Jewish servant. And Peter, as well as Paul, had temper issues. Well, lots of folks had that problem. You know, in the Mel Gibson film, Passion of the Christ, we were shown the extreme pain and suffering that Jesus went through in order to forgive the sins of humanity, people just like us. Yet, with all the cost of being the Savior of the world and Lord over sin, Jesus, as my wife said, Jesus still calls us friends. He calls us his friends. When we would give him every reason, every excuse not to. It's the most strange thing that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, would call us friends. Now, my daughter Annie, my middle daughter, I have three daughters, Gracie, Annie, and Emily. Annie lives with her husband Matt in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. They're there with our little grandson. Okay, November. He'll be 6 months old coming up. And little Callum. And Matt and Annie and Callum have a dog. Or rather, I should say, a small horse named Tillich. There he is. What breed dog is he again? GSP. That means nothing to me. German short-haired pointer. Thank you. GSP. That sounds like a disease. German short-haired pointer. He is a small horse. He is like Marmaduke. And Tillich does not, he's just a baby. He doesn't realize he weighs as much as he does. He doesn't know that his owners should have named him Secretariat, probably. He also doesn't realize that he has drooling issues. Whenever we FaceTime Annie to see Callum, which is nearly every day, Callum will be sitting there in his little walker thing, looking at us, and I'll be singing to him, he's a big boy, yes he is, he's such a big boy, he's my friend, yes he is, he's my friend. This is my own song, I wrote it. I sing it to your kids in the nursery, and they're like, they love it. Kids love it. I don't know what it is about it, but they start laughing. But sure enough, as soon as I'm talking to my grandson, here comes the dog, and Callum turns and looks, and he's all over his face. And I said to my daughter, Annie, I says, you know what? Your dog has kissed my grandson more than I have. Because I was just there in November for game 1 and 2 of the World Series. But that dog slobbered all over my grandkid, and he has a drooling itch issue to a degree. Now, whenever we visit or when they have come to visit here, they will drive from Raleigh-Durham, and they bring the dog with. He sits in the back seat, and they have a little pen. They'll put him up in a bedroom upstairs. And when they say, we're letting Tillich out, I'm in the family room, and suddenly I hear the noise. Down the stairs, into the living room, into the dining room, into the kitchen, and I'm on the couch covered with pillows because here comes the herd of water buffalo. That is what it sounds like. He has only 2 gears wide open and stopped. And when he stops, he's usually running into something or someone, and sometimes you get slammed to the ground. When that hound comes to me, everything living or that which wants to stay living has to get out of the way or take preventive measures because he is going to flop over on his back because he wants his belly rubbed and his ears scratched, you know? I do that with Terry. It just doesn't work. But with Tillich, if you rub his belly long enough, and he'll just lay there and, oh, move, oh, a little to the left, a little right down, a little over there, and then he can fall asleep, and he is satisfied. You know what? This is very much like God's acceptance of us all. God wants us close to him, even with all the goofy things I do and the mess which I bring into our relationship. He loves me and calls me friend even in my sin and betrayal. He loves and calls me friend even though it meant taking on all my slime, my sin. And Annie and Matt love that puppy dog, and so does Callum, and I'm working on it. Even with all the drool, even with all the noise, even with all the running around the house, they love their dog. That's how it is with us and God. Jesus was and is still called the friend of sinners. And he loves us all, no matter who we are, where we came from, what our last name is or isn't, what socioeconomic place we find ourselves in. God loves us, and he calls you his friend. For you see, friendship goes in more than one direction. If all God had in mind was saving the world, if that's all God had in mind from the beginning, all Jesus had to do was die on a cross, raise from the dead, and then just leave right after he rose from the grave. Jesus could have rose from the grave, says, thank you, I'm alive, and now for my next trick, hit the button and take off on the cloud and ascend. But he didn't do that. After he rose from the dead, he stayed here on the earth for 40. Everybody say 40. 40 days. Think about it. Jesus raises from the dead. Easter Sunday night, he appears to his disciples. He breathes on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when the disciples are born again, when they are changed. They've seen with their own eyes the risen Christ. 2 days later, the people who had Jesus put to death are in the Jerusalem Walmart, and there's Jesus walking through frozen foods with a Jack's pizza. Didn't we kill that guy? Isn't that Jesus? He's got holes in his hands. Yeah, that's him. Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days, the Bible tells us, after his resurrection, and appeared to 500 at one time, which says to me he appeared to thousands if he was there for 40 days. Why? Why did he hang around for 40 days? Why didn't he just raise from the dead, appear to a crowd, say, okay, see ya? Why did he walk around for 40 days? I think it's because God was getting us all ready, his disciples ready, and preparing us for what was next. And that was relationship. Building relationships, connections with people, with each other, and to learn how to be a friend of God. In spite of the fact that we tend to slip back into the slime of sin, God wants us for friends. It hardly seems like it would be possible, but it's the one reason this church and all churches should exist. We want to introduce our best friend, Jesus, to more friends here and in our community and around the world. So as I close, I get a couple real quick bullet points, and then we've got some really cool things that I think you're going to love. Major themes to friendship. These apply in your relationship to Jesus, but they'll also apply to your friends on earth. First one is stay in touch with your friend. Stay in touch with God. You know, being a friend here on earth with people is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I try to be a good friend to people. I'm not perfect. I do my best, but I'm learning. I'm better now than I used to be. Samuel Johnson said this, quote, a man should keep his friendships in constant repair, end of quote. That means you need to work on your friendships. Good friendships, great friendships, best friendships don't just happen. Friendship is strong, but it can be destroyed through circumstances. As I said earlier, when there is betrayal or distrust or where people look at something in a wrong way and it seems to be this, but it really wasn't, and then bad feelings flow out of that. For instance, have you ever forgotten a friend's birthday? I mean, even if it's on Facebook, that day you just happen not to look. I find that with myself sometimes. I'll go back and they'll say recent birthdays and I'll go, oh. What's that word? Belated. Happy belated birthday. I missed it. I feel bad about that. Have you ever forgotten a child's birthday? Your kid's birthday? What kind of parent are you? Have you ever forgotten your spouse's birthday? Anybody? Ooh, I saw that hand. Okay, you forgot your spouse's birthday. Ooh. Now, I've never forgotten my wedding anniversary because my wedding anniversary is on my birthday. Thank you very much. God bless you. Kidneys, right here, man. Kidneys. You know, you forget your spouse's birthday, you're in tall weeds, man. You're going to need a drop. So our earthly friendships are important, and we need to keep in touch. But our heavenly relationship with God is the most important friendship that needs growth and cultivation. It's the most important. Keeping in touch with God is that daily devotional time, that daily time of prayer and study of the Word of God, where you have that communion with God, and He speaks to your heart and gives you direction. If you don't have a good Bible or a good devotional, see them in the bookstore after service. They can point you in the right direction. Secondly, trust your friend. You know, when trust is broken, relationship crumbles. A good, strong relationship is built on trust. Our first president, George Washington, once wrote, quote, be courteous to all, but intimate with few. And let those few be well tried before you give them confidence, your confidence. True friendship is a plant of slow growth and must undergo and withstand the shocks of adversity, end of quote. I think George got it right. A friendship isn't just, oh, hi, we're BFFs. Wow, you like Prince and I do too. Yay, Purple Rain. Well, that's all great, but friendship is more than that. Friendship, true friendship, grows over time, and it withstands the storms of life. How many of you know life has storms? Oh boy, sometimes tornadoes and hurricanes. But when it comes to human friendships, there's nothing quite as devastating as trusting another person, only to have that person break your trust, spread innuendo, lie about you, insert dagger between the ribs. Painful, hurtful, terrible time. On the other hand, friendship without trust is simply an acquaintance. Oh yeah, we're good friends. You don't know nothing about them. They know nothing about you. They're just the teller at the bank or the person at the store or the what have you. You're an acquaintance. They're not your friend. A friend is someone you know and trust in good times and hard times. Friendship without trust is simply an acquaintance. With Jesus, trust is the starting point. That's the rub. We learn early to test before we trust. Here's the deal. With Jesus, you don't even enter the family until you trust him. You trust him with your eternity. Lastly, be there. Be there for your friend. You know, when it comes to earthly friendships, there's a time when your friend will need you to stick with them. And you might be the only one who will, for whatever reason. Everyone else jumps ship. Everyone else abandons. But you, as a true friend filled with the Holy Spirit, you stick with him. I'm glad to say that in my own life and my wife's life, there are a few men and women who are our friends who have stuck with us in difficult times. I pray that I will be there when they have need, when they have a friend, when they have a need and they need a friend to stick with them in that time. With Jesus, our friendship should also be returned, reciprocated. He was there on the cross for us. He was there on the cross for us when we were still in our sins. The Bible said we were an enemy of God. But even at that time, his promise is he will always be there for us. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Terry said it earlier, something the Bible says. The Bible tells us there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's true. And his name is Jesus. Your best friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize over these last several weeks as we've learned about choices, the choice Judas made in betraying Christ, the choice Simon Peter made in denying Christ, the choice Jesus made in going to the cross when it would have been very easy to say, I'm walking away. And then we realize Jesus chose us. Father, my prayer is that we will continue to choose God, first of all, as our Savior and Lord, but also every day of our life. We've made some bad choices in life. Sometimes we've chosen the wrong friends, and that's led down a bad path. Sometimes we've chosen the wrong career or even the wrong road in life. And we look back over our life and we say, if only. If only I could have make up for those choices. And then we come to realize we can. We realize that one good choice in our eternity in choosing Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord will make up and offset a million bad choices. Bad choices that he has made. The Word tells us that God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and then he tells us what to do. He says, choose life. Father, my prayer today is that we will choose life and blessing we will choose the path of God's choosing for us every day. And as a result, as we see these wonderful testimonies, we will see our life turned around in such a magnificent way. All we can say is, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great things you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.